4.30.
हरे कृष्ण। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। फोर्थ कैंटो 30th चैप्टर फर्स्ट वर्स। विदुर उवाच ये त्वया भिहिता ब्रह्मन् सुताः प्राचीन बर्हिषः ते रुद्रगीतेन हरिं सिद्धिम् आपुः प्रतोष्य किम्।
Vidura inquired from Maitreya, O Brahmana, you formerly spoke about the sons of Prachinabarhi and informed me that they satisfied the Supreme Personality of Godhead by chanting a song composed by Lord Shiva. What did they achieve in this way?
Vidura is asking, because in the last 5 chapters, Vidura has been hearing about Prachinabarhi, how he was enlightened by Narada Muni. But Prachetas began chanting Rudra Gita, and that was left in 4th canto 24th chapter. So in the 30th chapter, Vidura is asking Maitreya Muni to continue from there. So 30 is a continuation of 24. Okay. So Vidura inquired from Maitreya like this. Prabhupada writes, ये त्वया विहिता ब्रह्मन् सुताः प्राचीन बर्हिषः ते रुद्रगीतेन। फोर्थ लाइन यू सी, सिद्धिम आपुः प्रतोष्यकाम। सिद्धिम आपुः मीन्स ऑल दिस प्रचेतास अटेंड सिद्धि, अटेंड परफेक्शन। व्हाट काइंड ऑफ सिद्धि? इट्स नॉट लाइक अष्ट सिद्धि, इट्स नॉट द सिद्धि ऑफ वॉकिंग ऑन वाटर, इट इज द सिद्धि ऑफ डिवोशनल सर्विस। ओके, so they achieved perfection. Prabhupada writes, the supreme perfection is to go back to Godhead. So Vidura was confident that yes, definitely they might have gone back to Godhead, because they had such a wonderful spiritual master. Directly the topmost Vaishnava Shiva became their guru, and they sincerely practiced bhakti for 10,000 years. So they must have gone to spiritual world. But what are the other achievements that they had in this world? What other things that they do? That's the subject matter of his question. Second verse he continues, kimbarhaspatyeha paratravartha kaivalyanatha priya parshvavartinah asadya devam girisham yadrichayam प्रापु परम नो नमथ प्रचेतसः।
माय डियर बारहस्पत्या, व्हाट डिड द सन्स ऑफ किंग बहिशन नोन एज द प्रचेतस ऑब्टेन आफ्टर मीटिंग लॉर्ड शिवा हु इज वेरी डियर टू द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड एंड द बेस्टर ऑफ लिबरेशन? सर्टेनली दे वर ट्रांसफर्ड टू द स्पिरिचुअल वर्ल्ड, बट अपार्ट फ्रॉम दैट व्हाट डिड दे obtain within this material world, either in this life or in other lives?
So they got Shiva's blessings. Shiva's blessings would generally mean material happiness, generally, because many demons and other materialistic people worship him and Shiva bestows the material benedictions. But actual blessings of Shiva are not such material benedictions, they are upliftment in spiritual life. So there are few souls who receive spiritual benedictions from Shiva, but there are many people who receive material benedictions from him, like Ravana, Vrakasur, so many other people, Banasur. And sometimes Shiva even becomes obliged to take their side also. Okay. But generally he favors the devotees. When Ravana was being killed by Ram, Shiva did not come, okay, to protect Ravana. Because Ram has taken a decision, who am I to object? Okay. So he basically favors the Lord, favors Krishna, Ram and their devotees more than favoring the demons. Although externally he benedicts them. Okay. So predominating deity of material world, Durga is under his control. Mahadev can offer anyone any kind of material happiness. Okay. Distress and happiness obtained during one's lifespan is called Iha, and next life is Para or Paratra. Sometimes even devotees also get material happiness by the Lord's arrangement. So Vidura was eager to know what did the Prachetas receive in this material world apart from their spiritual destinations. Okay. So Maitreya Muni is answering. Prachetasantar udadhau pitur adesha karinah japayagnena tapasa puranjanam atoshayan. Prachetaso antar udadhau. Udaka means water. So all these prachetas, they did their austerities underwater. Antar udadhau pitur adesha karinah. How did they end up there? Initially it began with his father, their father's instruction, Pituradesha Karinaha. Japayagnena tapasa. They did tapasa, but these austerities are not like Hiranyakashipu's austerities and Ravana's austerities. This tapasa is Japayagna. They chanted the holy names of the Lord as taught by Lord Shiva. Okay. Puranjanam Atoshayan. Thus they satisfied Puranjan. Who is Puranjan?
Lord.
Lord here. Puranjan basically means the person who lives in Pura, in the body. In this body, soul is living and super soul is also living. So Puranjan refers to Krishna also. The easiest way to satisfy the Supreme Lord is by this Japa Yajna, by chanting his holy names, offering his prayers. Japa is not only chanting a mantra, it could be chanting a prayer also, a long prayer, not just one mantra like Om Namo Narayanaya, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Not just that, it's like chanting Rudra Gita is also called Japa Yajna. Okay. Pure devotee never attempts to reach the Lord directly. Most important way to worship the Lord is through disciplic succession. Okay. Next, fourth verse. Dashavarsha sahasranti purushastu sanatanah teshama virabhut krutshram shante nashamayan rucha. Dashavarsha sahasranti. Dasha means 10, sahasra means 1000, varsha means years. After 10,000 years, purushautu sanatanah, the eternal supreme personality of Godhead, tesham avirabhut krutshram, he was satisfied with the krutshram, the hard, difficult austerities done by the prachetas, and shantena shamayan rucha, he appeared before them in a very pleasing form, shanta, to pacify them, samayan, shamayan rucha. So austerities satisfy the Supreme Lord, but what kind of austerities? They should be devotional austerities, not like Vrikasura one plucks out one's flesh and then put in the fire and then, Krishna, be pleased with me. What you are doing? I am putting my fingers in the fire. Not like that. They should be devotional. So it's not a happy endeavor for staying underwater for 10,000 years and chanting one mantra only. You know, chanting 16 words becomes a big project for us. Yet the devotees who are serious, they undergo such austerities to attain the favor of the Lord. In the material world, if one is successful after hard labor, he is very pleased. Similarly, devotee forgets all his labors and austerities as soon as he contacts the Lord. Okay. So, prachetas are satisfied by Vishnu Darshan. Yes, they are devotional austerities. To execute the instructions of the Supreme Lord or Guru or Vaishnavas, we may undergo some difficulties, okay, some tribulations. That can also be counted as devotional austerity. Madhavendra Puri received an instruction from Gopal, get me Chandan. He had to undergo a lot of struggle to get it. He was happily undergoing that struggle. Right? He had to carry a lot of loads, he has to pass through so many toll gates and so many people ask him permission papers. Where is your passbook and C book, etc. Okay. So concession is given in Kali Yuga. We can't be doing such austerities. No one can go underwater and stay there for 10 minutes also. Forget about 10,000 years. 1 or 2 minutes or half minute is a big thing for them. So one can attain some results simply by chanting Hare Krishna. One can attain same results. So the Lord appeared. Suparnaskandam arudho Merushringam ivam buddha Pietavasa manigrivaha Kurvan vitibiradishaha Suparana skandham arudhu. Suparana is who? Why he is Suparana? Because he has good wings. Suparana. Parana is wings. Suparana means they are good wings. It's not just simple good wings. They, when they do like this, the Vedic chants will come. Chandai Suparanair. Chanda. The Vedas, Vedic vibrations come out of his flapping of wings. Like that. It's a spiritual personality. Chanda. So Suparana Skandham Arudho. Skanda is his shoulder. So the Lord climbed on the shoulder of Garuda. Merushrungam Ivambudaha. So when the Lord was on top of Garuda, he was looking, the whole scene was looking as if there was a blue cloud on a golden mountain. The Lord is having bluish complexion and Garuda is having golden complexion. He is like a big mountain, Garuda. He is a golden mountain and Lord is looking like a blue cloud on top of it. Like that. Merushrangam Ivambudaha Pita Vasa. And the Lord is wearing yellow cloth. Mani Grivaha. His neck is decorated with Kaustubha Mani. Here Mani is Kaustubha Mani. Kurvan Viti Miradishaha. And what is he doing? He is dissipating the darkness of the directions when he is coming like that. Okay. So the bodily effulgence of the Lord dissipates all the directions. The origin of all life is the bodily effulgence of the Lord. Yasya prabha prabhavato jagadanda koti or prabhasmi sasi surya yoh. Okay. The Lord is the shine of sun and moon. So where did he enter? Where did he come? They were standing inside the water. So Garuda was flying inside the water also. You saw that painting? He came where Prachetas were standing. Prachetas were under the water. So Garuda came inside of the water also. Which is, there are fishes also, you see, the painting. The tortoise also is there. They have. So, a normal bird cannot fly inside the water, but Garuda can fly while carrying the Lord on his back. And they are not struggling to breathe. When you go inside the water, to hold the breath, you have to struggle a lot. But they are happily doing it. So, the properties of all material elements are coming from the Lord. And he can change the properties, or he can make those properties suitable to him also. He doesn't have to struggle. Generally, a human being cannot stay inside the water. But the Lord can stay anywhere. For this month, April month, Ram Navami issue, Bhagavad Pradipika, I was writing an article on, what is that? The floating stones. Right? If the Lord wants, Garuda can fly, a bird can fly inside the water, and the stone can flow outside the water. If you put a stone, the stone will just go inside the water, right? That's the property of stone and water. These two elements cannot float. Plastic can float, stone cannot float. Okay? But a bird cannot fly inside the water, but the Lord can make him fly also. Lord can make millions of planets suspend or float like cotton swabs in the outer space. Can't he make few stones float on water within one universe? Okay, within this universe, so many planets are floating in the outer space. Within the Viraja river, so many millions of Brahmandas are floating. Can't he make a stone float? That causal ocean is considered like that. It's called also like that. You can say causal ocean. That's safer. So, that's how the Lord is omnipotent. If you believe that the Lord is omnipotent and has inconceivable energies, nothing is hard for you to trust. All these descriptions given in the Bhagavatam are easy for us to assimilate. We are not surprised. An ordinary person may get surprised and then say that it's all mythology, it's all stories, it never happened. But if we trust the omnipotency of the Lord, we can easily believe them. Faith, keep faith on them. And chant them and get nourished, again get spiritually advanced. Kasishnuna kanakavarana vibhushanena bharajat kapola vadano vilasat kiritaha ashtayudhair anucharair munibhir surendrair asevito garuda kinnara gita kirtihi kasishnuna kanaka varna vibhushanina. Oh, I have the book here. Oh, I don't have the book. Someone has it? It's okay. Forget it. I'll do the needful. So the Lord's beauty is described here. Okay. Kanaka varna vibhushanina. He is wearing beautiful garments and helmet. They're all dazzling. Gold. Bhrajat kapola vadano. On top of his head, this helmet is dazzling. Okay. Vilasat kiritaha. Kirita is crown. And ashtayudhair. He is holding 8 kinds of weapons. Anucharair. He is accompanied by so many associates. Munibhir surendrair. Who are those associates? Muni, sages. Surendra. Brahma, Indra and other demigods. Means all of them also came inside the water. They can stand like that. Okay, will they become wet? They have to go outside the water and then squeeze their clothes? Not necessary. For when Krishna wants something to happen, it will happen. Don't go into all those details. Ashevito Garuda Kinnara Gita Kirti. And he is being glorified by Garuda. How is the Garuda glorifying him? By flapping his wings. When he flaps the wings, Vedic hymns will come out. That's how the Lord is being glorified. Lord Garuda is flying and bringing the Lord to wherever he wants to go. And while doing that, Kirtan is going on. Okay, flapping. He will not fly without flapping. Flapping means music is also coming along with it. So you have some cars, some vehicles that make sound. When small children are walking on some special shoes, they make some sound, ping, 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 like that. You know that? So, they are carrying you from one place to another place along with some musical entertainment. So, Garuda is carrying Vishnu to wherever he wants with glorification. Vedic hymns are coming. Asevito Garuda Kinnara Gita Kirtihi. Okay, next. Prabhupada again says, all these details show that the Lord is a person. So many details are given. How can you say that he has no form, he has no name, he is impersonal? God is light. God is love. God is compassion. He has all these qualities, but he is not that. So he is the person who has the qualities. The quality is not the ultimate absolute truth. It's okay, Prabhu. So generally Vishnu is manifested with 4 hands, but he came with 8 hands. You can't question him. Why 8 hands? It's okay. It's his wish. Okay. The extra 4 hands hold arrow, bow, trident and snake. Okay. General 4 hands hold Chanka, Chakra, Gada, Padma. These are 4 additional hands. Just like a king is accompanied by his ministers and secretaries and commanders, Vishnu is accompanied by his followers. He is never alone. So, Jagadanda Koti Koti Svasesha Vasudadi Vibhuti Bhinnam. In each universe, different types of planets are there. Okay, further, the beauty of the Lord is described. Pinayatashtabhujamandala madhya lakshmya. Spardhashriya parivruto vanamala yadhyaha. Barhishmata purusha ahasutan prapannan. Parjanyanadarutaya sagrinava lokaha. Read the translation.
Around the neck of the personality embodied hung a flower garland that reached to his knees. His eight stout and elongated arms were decorated with that garland, which challenged the beauty of the goddess of fortune. With a merciful glance and a voice like thunder, the Lord addressed the sons of the king, Prajina Marishan, who were very much sons of the king.
So, around the Lord's neck was a garland that reached up to his knees, and other details you can see. We can go into the Sanskrit of each of these verses, very sweet verses, but we will restrain ourselves. Parjanya nada rutaya sagrinava lokaihi. Parjanya nada means he spoke in a very grave voice, which is like rumbling like cloud. At the same time, sa krihnava lokaihi. He is also having a merciful glance. Merciful glance with voice like thunder. Voice like thunder means not to threaten people. It's grave. It's with gravity. At the same time, there is mercy also. Mercy and gravity only he can combine. Okay. Four arrows, four weapons are arrow, bow, trident and snake. I don't know. Chakravarti writes like that. You are seeing the painting?
Picture.
Okay. Snake is there? Okay, fine.
Stout means what is it?
Huh?
Eight stout.
Where?
Thick. Eight stout and elongated arms.
Huh, stout means they are well formed, not like a skeleton like this. Kuch log patla rehte hain, skinny, skinny nahi. Like proper flesh is there. Right, sufficient amount. Not stout does not mean he is fat. It's like proper, and strong arms. And many other verses are quoted in this. Anadirajir Govinda Sarvakaran Karanam Param Brahma Parandhama Pavitram Param Bhavan Brahmanohi Pratishtaham Janmadiyasayataha. Like that, so many verses are quoted to prove that Krishna is a person. Okay, you know all these verses. We will not go into details. Let's see what the Lord said. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Varam Vrinidham Bhadrambo Yuyam Me Nrupanandana Sauhardena Pruthak Dharma Tushtoham Sauhrudenava Varam Vrinidham Bhadrambo. Oh my dear Prachetas, he addressed them as Nrpa Nandanaha. Nrpa is king, Nandana is son. You are the sons of king, princess. Oh my dear princess, Varam Vrinidvam. So I am going to give you benediction. Bhadramvo, let there be auspiciousness unto you. Okay. I am impressed with something in you. What is that? Sauhardena. All of you have very loving, deep, friendly Vaishnava relationships with each other. That is very impressive to the Lord. This is a very important verse. His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj gave several classes on this sloka.
So, Tupuna visit.
Huh?
Both the visit he spoke on this verse.
Oh, in Tupuna? And in GV also he spoke. Once or twice, I think. Once I definitely heard, 2016, January 1st. What was that? Prema Milan Mahotsav. There he spoke this. And in a different context also I heard. So varam vrini sauhardena aprutak dharma. So all of you had good friendly relationships with each other. Okay, all of you are engaged in one occupation, that is devotional service. Okay, and tushtoham sauhrdenava, the word sauhrdena he repeats again. All of you are having good friendly relationships. Now you can take any benediction from me. Okay, so Prabhupada writes in the purport, beautiful purport, every line is important. What is real unity? Okay, each and every one of the prachetas was an individual soul, but they have very friendly relationship with others, means they are united with others, they are all one. Not only all of them are one in purpose and one in their mood, they all got one wife only.
Wife.
10 of them got one wife, Lord will say in some time, in few verses. So the unity of individual souls, remember this statement very well. The unity of individual souls attempting to satisfy the Supreme Lord or rendering service to Him is real unity. Means the real unity is to be united while serving Krishna. That's the real unity. Some people may say, we are all united. United, we will plunder the wealth of the government by taking more and more bribes. Our team, we are a team of five, we accept bribe and we divide that very equally. 5 lakhs when we get, we take 1 lakh each. We are very united. There is no compromise only. So like that, there is some unity existing amongst the conditioned souls also to achieve some purpose, which could be a material purpose. Some people may be there, we are going to invent this bomb. All our team is united to achieve this end. We have 35 members in our crew. All of them are inventing this most destructive weapon. Once you drop it, entire village is destroyed. Powerful weapon. So, for destructive purposes, for sense gratificatory purposes, materialistic conditioned souls may be united. But the real unity is being united to render service to Krishna. That's what Prabhupada says. They may officially unite as United Nations, but they have different purposes. So there is so-called unity in the name, but there is no unity in their purpose. 10 people came together to discuss. All of them should be united with one purpose, to conduct the festival nicely, or to do something else properly, to conduct a project properly. But each of them are thinking in their own individual ways, and they are excited with their small portion of it. Means there is this amount of service, and all of you have to share. 10 people are there in the team, you have to share your share the responsibility. So they divide the service into 10 chunks, and each person will take one portion of the service and then executes. That's fine, you focus on your area. But the point I am trying to say is, people get excited with the specific incentive they are going to get. To that extent, to achieve that end, they focus on that aspect of service more and neglect other aspects, although they are important. For example, deity worship. Okay, you are all worshipping the deities. Means, for example, an aarti has to be performed to the Lord. Before aarti, there is offering, bhoga offering. Okay, somebody has to make the plate, somebody has to cook the bhoga, somebody has to make the aarti plate, somebody has to wash the utensils, all these things are there. So someone will say, I'll take the job of washing the utensils, sharing the responsibility. So while washing the utensils, whatever is there left in the utensils is mine. Right? He may be excited with the Mahaprasad, extra Mahaprasad that he might get. For that purpose, taking Mahaprasad is not wrong. Washing utensils is also not wrong. I'm just saying, with an innocent example, with a simple example, that even while performing devotional service also, we seek our own interest. our own motivated interest and then accept the service like that sometimes. Okay. So that selflessness and extending oneself to render the service with full responsibility does not manifest so easily. It's very difficult. And even if one has a very good intent to do that, seeing the entire team, there are 9 other people in the team, and you have that pure intent, other people are not allowing you to exhibit that mood. 10 people together performing some service means everybody is responsible for the common goal, common purpose, and the ultimate success of that service. If people are excited only with the small portions of their service, they may execute that much responsibility only, but they have to be conscious about the entire project. That would mean that if someone is stuck for some reason, you should extend yourself and then help him. Is aare mera area fixed hai bas isme maza aa raha hai mujhe sabko maza aaya ki nahi pata nahi mere ko maza aa raha hai. Right, I'll do this is what is comfortable for me and all. At least to do that kind of service also is better than not doing anything. But I'm just speaking from the perspective of when you are managing a bigger service with a few volunteers in an organization, and you have a responsibility to get so much service done through all these 10 people, it becomes difficult when some people do not participate or cooperate as is expected from such an individual, such a participant. It becomes difficult. Everybody thinks that cooperation means others should listen what I say. But the cooperation is ultimately to achieve the higher end. That is cooperation. Non-cooperation is sticking to one's own false egoistic conceptions and not agreeing to others at all. Okay, internally mainly. So unity means unity of individual souls attempting to satisfy the Supreme Lord. Together let us satisfy Him. In Kali Yuga, unity is very difficult. Everybody, every individual has his own conceptions and his own perspectives, his own views of how to do certain things. Okay, it's difficult. At least within devotee community, at least to a certain degree, let's try to be united. That's the point. At least in your case, you are hardly 10 people here staying there. So you all can cultivate unity like prachetas. When you are in a very big temple, very big setup, there 100 people are there, 200 people are there. So the dynamics there are different. Okay, but when you are staying closely with only few people, you know each other very well, you interact with these 10 people only throughout the day. There your interactions are with 100 people, right? The per person time is divided. So every arrangement has its own advantage and disadvantage. So you just identify what are the advantages here and then set a nice example, and then together, the Prabhupada says that story also. When the father asked the sons to break the stick, they broke it easily. When 10 sticks are brought together and then they try to break, they did not break. So alone, if we struggle and fight with Maya, we may fail sometimes. But if we take shelter of the association of devotees and then along with them, if we fight with Maya, it may be easier. Like that. So that's why working in a team is a very big thing. Crucial thing for one's advancement. Prabhupada writes, disunity between individuals is so strong in the material world that even in a society of Krishna consciousness, members sometimes appear disunited. Why? Due to having different opinions and leaning towards material things. That's what I was trying to say till now. Even within devotee circles also, different devotees are excited with different things, and they may not be united with others, or they may be officially united, but internally that bonding is not there, that unity is not there, that cooperative spirit is not there. Okay. and that non-cooperative spirit is material, leaning towards material things. Actually speaking, there cannot be two opinions in devotional service. There is only one goal, to serve Krishna to the best of one's ability. Everybody is doing this only, to serve Krishna to the best of his own ability. When everybody does like this in the team, it's easy to cooperate with each other, it's easy to be united. Problem is, somebody does not want to serve Krishna to the best of his ability. He wants to save some of his energies or resources or time for something else, not for that service. All of us, 10 of us together are given this service. Now, if 10 people dedicate their entire time, energy, resources and whatever skills they have to execute that service, it can happen. But some of the people in the team, they allocate some of this, their energy, their time. 10 ghanta dena hai, and you give only 5 hours. 5 hours, I'll do something else, I have something else to do. Okay? So when that kind of tendencies creep in, it's difficult to get the service done effectively. So I heard one statement. In this world, 80% of the work is done by 20% of the people. Right? Means there are few people who are committed to service, who take responsibility in service, and such people get more and more service. And there are few people who cut corners, who escape from responsibility, who give 10 other reasons why they cannot do, not giving even one reason why they should do or why they can do. So such people get less and less service. So like that, at the end of the day, we have only few people running the show. We have many people for namesake, or they may contribute little bit in an insignificant way, or probably less than their potential. Krishna has given certain potential to everyone. Not everyone can accomplish everything or to a greater magnitude. But if one can contribute to the best of one's ability, that's what Prabhupada is saying here. There is only one goal, to serve Krishna to the best of one's ability. You have your ability. Somebody may be Hanuman, somebody may be squirrel. Everybody has their ability. Squirrel can throw some pebbles and sand. If the squirrel says, what I will do, I will not do anything. Or if the squirrel can get this big bag of pebbles, the squirrel is getting only a few grains of sand. Definitely that is good. That much at least it is contributing. But if one is not giving one's best in Krishna's service, he is holding something back. Krishna sees that. How much are you holding back? Dekhte. I see that. A person who has 10 rupees in his pocket offers 10 rupees. A person who has 10,000 rupees in his pocket, he offers only 10 rupees. Who is better? Someone who has given his entire self is better. Okay? Contribution wise, both contributed the same. But both actually did not contribute the same because they did not do their best. Okay? Like that. So, Prabhupada says there is no disunity, there cannot be two opinions, but there are two opinions when they are leaning towards material considerations. Now you see, in that Prema Milan only, Maharaj gave this example. Hanumanji said that we should accept Vibhishan into Ram's troops, and Sugriva said we should not accept. They are two different opinions, opposite opinions, exactly opposite opinions. Then finally Ram gave his opinion. Let's accept. Forget Vibhishan, even if Ravana comes, I'll accept. Then Sugriva changed his opinion. Because earlier he thought to the best of his ability, to the best of his intelligence, he thought that not accepting Vibhishan into their troop will serve Ram better. And Hanumanji thought accepting him in the troop will serve the Lord Ram's interest better, because he trusted Vibhishan, because he already saw Vibhishan in Lanka when he went to burn Lanka and find Sita and burn Lanka. So that did not create any enmity between Hanumanji and Sugriva, is it not? That did not create any enmity. They had two opposite opinions, but they did not become inimical towards each other. They had two different opinions, but ultimately their purpose is same. The purpose behind your opinion or proposal or plan is to serve Krishna, to serve Ram. So both of them have, they are perfect in their service attitude. But as far as detail is concerned, somebody's thought is better, someone else's thought is not better, not great. So when we are participating in a team and contributing our ideas or our plans or thoughts towards the execution of a service, we should not be egoistic. We should not be self-centered. We should be selfless. We should be malleable. We should be open-minded. Different people throw different ideas and the best idea wins. Not your idea and my idea. Whichever is best wins. You understand this? Sometimes in a meeting, your idea may not be taken. Your idea may not be given importance. You should not feel offended. You should rationally evaluate and compare your idea versus the idea that is accepted. Yeah, this is better. This is a better option. You should feel excited that someone else gave a better option than what I gave. You should not feel offended that my idea is not taken. You should not feel envious that, "Arey, isko itna achcha sa idea kaise aata yaar? Mereko aata nahi isa." And you start feeling envious towards the other fellow. So because in a neophyte stage, all this will happen. You come to the meeting prepared with certain plans, and when they reject your plans, when the entire body rejects your plans, you should not feel offended. You should feel happy that I finally found a way which is a better way to serve Krishna. You should feel happy when someone gives an idea better than you. Generally, people get into these two tendencies. Number one, my idea is not taken. My opinions are not valued. I am useless. Devotees are not respecting me. He feels insecure. Number two, when someone else gives a better idea than you, he feels envious towards the other person. You feel offended and you feel envious. With these two, we cannot survive in bhakti for a long time. Many times, especially in brahmachari ashram, some people become insecure because of this reason only. They are unable to contribute in a certain way. That means their contributions or their ideas are not accepted because there were better ideas. There were people who are doing things in a better way. So that's why their points are not taken. That does not mean the devotee community did not accept the person himself. You understand? If we identify ourselves with our ideas, means basically with our intelligence, with our mind, with our ego, we get into problems. You as a person is accepted by the devotee community, but your idea in this context may not be accepted. That doesn't mean devotees are disowning you. Even if they disown out of their immaturity, you should not feel insecure. You understand this? Because after some time, this problem, these challenges will come. Now all of you are on the same plane. 10 years or 20 years down the line, somebody will become Acharya. Gauram Prabhu used to tell in our VTA classes, it's around 11 years back, he would say, all of you are same now, following the same schedule, same regimen. All of you are seen as same. Cooking chal rahe, pura VTA batch ko bulao. 20 people are there. You all make, what is that called? Ragada patties, right? Some laddus they make with the mash, mash potato and then put all kinds of things and then make laddus. Right? So all of you come and make. We have to make for 10,000 people or 5,000 people or at least 2,000-3,000 people in certain festivals. So all these 20 people will keep doing this only, nothing else. So all of you get same engagements. But after some time, after the training phase is over, different people get different engagement based on their experience, their skill set, their attitude, and their malleability to circumstances, their maturity, etc., etc. There is no discrimination in training phase. Once the training is over, once the probation period is over, there is distinction, there is different service. So Gaurambhu used to say that all of you are same now. 10 years down the line, one of you may become acharya, another person may do achar in kitchen. May do achar in the kitchen. In his own style, with sense of humor. So then the real problems will start. Okay? Achar versus acharya. Okay? Then insecurities will start. Training phase mein kuch insecurity hai nahi. Okay? Everybody is same. Everybody is treated in the same manner. Okay? So then the real struggle begins. We need to be prepared for that. Okay? So why people leave the process or feel insecure in the process when their contributions are not accepted? What we should look forward in this devotional service, in this ambience, is an opportunity to hear and chant and absorb in the glories of Krishna. That does not mean you neglect services. Also an opportunity to render sincere service to the best of your ability according to the time, place, circumstance, person and need. You may have a talent to contribute in a certain way, but that kind of service is not needed at this hour. Just because you didn't get an opportunity to contribute according to your need, you should not feel insecure. Okay? Of course, it is the responsibility also of the leaders to find suitable engagement for devotees. That much leader should do. That is leader's problems. I am speaking about the regular devotees. Sometimes it may not be practical also. This fellow is very expert in this field, but these are the services available. And he has dedicated and entered the ashram, but none of the services are suiting this fellow. He is talented, but that does not mean he feels insecure. There are certain services that everyone can do. Okay? Stick to those services. And there are the basic elements of devotional service, bhakti, that everyone can do. Who stops you from chanting extra rounds? Who stops you from Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam? Once a devotee on a Janmashtami day, he told me, after Janmashtami, this Janmashtami was successful. Why? Because I just asked him after this Janmashtami festival, he didn't sing today. Every festival he sings. He's a good singer, reasonable singer also. He plays musical instruments, he knows mridanga, kartal, harmonium, everything. He does very well. I asked him, you didn't sing this festival, you're busy or what? With a very disappointing tone, he told me that मुझे schedule नहीं किया तो मैं क्या करूँ? मैं इतना भी खराब नहीं गाता हूँ. Okay? He was disappointed that he was not scheduled for singing, means leading, not singing, leading in that festival. Okay? So he felt so bad. He felt so disheartened. Then after 3 days, I just happened to meet him. He's reading Bhagavatam. I just went there. Then he said, Prabhu, this Janmashtami was successful for me. This happened in 2010 or 11, I think. This Janmashtami was successful. Why? I said, why successful? I remember that incident anyways. I didn't comment anything there, but I felt that he was disappointed. Then he said, actually, I can sing the holy names in chorus, but I was desiring to sing in mic only. And I was disappointed that I was not scheduled to sing. I was not given a slot. Okay. And I became little disheartened or angry with the devotees who are scheduling. Mujhe schedule nahi kiya. Opportunity nahi diya. So I felt bad. So, but Krishna revealed to me my poor consciousness. So I'll just focus on the holy name. We may not be given mic to sing the glories of the Lord, but we are given a mouth to sing the glories of the Lord in chorus. Okay, we may not be given an opportunity to sit on Vyasasana and give katha on a festival day, but we are given a mouth in the association of devotees to glorify Krishna one to one also. Okay, so we need to understand the practicality in the material world. You may have a desire to do something, you may have the talent to do something, but you may not always get an opportunity to do that. We should not feel bad. We should not feel disappointed. Whatever opportunities we get to render service to Krishna, we should be happy to offer them. So it was in Mayapur, one of our devotees was glorifying. There was one Maharaj, I will not tell certain names. There was one Maharaj. During the Mayapur Mahabhishek festival, Panchitattva Mahabhishek is going on. So many devotees were offering Abhishek to the Panchitattva deities, and many devotees were given opportunities to sing during the Abhishek. Okay, this half an hour this Maharaj will sing, that half an hour the so-and-so Prabhu will sing, that half an hour someone else will sing. All of them were scheduled. Like that one prominent Maharaj, he was not scheduled to do any seva. He just went and sat in the kirtan. So nobody was there to play kartal. He picked up kartal and started playing kartal. He was so blissful throughout the 3-4 hours of Abhishek, whatever that whole kirtan slot, and he was putting his full energy to just play kartal. That's all. This is the little service that I received. Let me put my full energy and ability to play this kartal. That's all. Hanumanji was a big hero in the battlefield of Lanka. He burned the entire Lanka. He threatened all the Rakshasas, he found Sita. He crossed the ocean without a bridge. Ram had to make a bridge to cross the ocean, but Hanumanji did not have to make a bridge to cross the ocean. You see, interesting, isn't it interesting? So Hanumanji was so glorious like that, but in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, what was his role? He was sitting on the flag and shouting when Bhima was shouting. Hanumanji did not feel insecure. Arey, main kaun hu, pata hai kya? If you give me opportunity, I will crush all the 100 sons of Dhritarashtra in my hand like this. I killed Akshay Kumar, I killed I defeated Indrajit. So like that, he had so many accomplishments. What are these Kauravas who are just 5000 years back in front of all the Rakshasas in Treta Yuga? Treta Yuga people, villains are more powerful than Dwapara Yuga villains. And Kali Yuga villains are very feeble, they are stupid. They are useless fellows. They don't know villainy only. Right? So these people are not as powerful as the villains in the previous yugas. So for Hanumanji, killing Duryodhan, Dushyasan, Shakuni is nothing. He doesn't have to exert himself at all. But he was not given a role. Krishna decided, I will make Arjuna hero, I will make Bhima hero in this battle. And you are you just do a supporting role. Spectator, just keep shouting. Give them blessings. Sitting on the flag. Cheer up. Clap. Whatever. Whistle. Whatever. Right? That's the role given to Hanuman. Hanumanji did not feel bad. There are so many dramas. In every drama, you cannot be hero. Or even if you are hero in every drama, in every scene, you don't have dialogues. Just imagine a drama with only one person speaking all the dialogues. It's so boring and monotonous, isn't it? Everybody has their role in a drama. Similarly, everybody has his contribution in their services. One should not feel insecure just because he did not get opportunity to implement his idea for Krishna's service or engage his talents in Krishna's service. Whatever opportunities we get, we should be happy. Okay? So, my point I was saying in this context was, we should be united. Unity means also to compromise on our thoughts, on our words, on our actions. you may want to do something, you can do something. So your capability and desire has to be mellowed down in certain contexts. That is also a part of unity and cooperation.
Okay.
So those who are actually engaged in Krishna's service cannot be disunited in any circumstance. Don't be disunited. Disunity comes when someone is disconnected from others within the heart. From inside the heart they are disconnected. Externally they are cooperating. They are saying Prabhu, Hare Krishna Prabhu, Dandavat Pranam Prabhu. They are saying all that, but internally they are disconnected. You have your world, you have your life, I have my life. I have nothing to do with you. That is disunity. That is a bigger disunity. When someone attacks us, we all should be willing to fight together. Not that the one person who is attacked has to fight.
Okay.
Who is attacking us constantly? Maya. Maya is attacking us constantly. All of the devotees should come together and fight together. That needs unity.
Okay.
If we fight, that's why association of devotees, Bhakta Sangha, is glorified so much. That's why you have this board outside the building. Satsanga. Hare Krishna Satsanga Kendra. Kannada, that's what is written. Satsanga. I can read Kannada a little bit. So that's a Satsanga. We need Sangha of devotees. So Sangha means unity. To be united, to cooperate with each other, we may have to keep aside our thoughts, our views, our plans, our abilities, all of them. Sometimes we may have to compromise on all of them. And if you see the episode of Samudra Manthan, who is being united there? Who is cooperating with each other there? The demigods and demons were cooperating with each other for a higher purpose. There was cooperation during the churning. They were pulling the rope with their full strength, but there was no cooperation or unity within their hearts. Okay, physically, externally, they showed cooperation. That's good, wonderful. At least that much they did. But internally, they were disconnected. Means two groups were disconnected. Okay? But within the demigod group, they were connected to each other. But within the demon group, they are disconnected with each other also. So these group members, they are disconnected with the other group and they are disconnected within the group also. That is demoniac mentality. You understand? So, within the Krishna conscious society, within the society we need to be connected with each other. We need to be united with each other. Okay? So, Prabhupada writes, those who are engaged in Supreme Lord service cannot be disunited in any circumstance. If there is no disunity, if there is unity, then the Lord becomes very happy. And if he is happy, he is willing to give all benedictions to the devotees. What did he say? Sauhardena apruthak dharma tushtoham sauhurdenava. By sauhurda, by friendship and unity amongst devotees, the Lord is satisfied, tushtoham. And what does he do? Varam vrinidvam bhadram vo. He will bestow all auspiciousness and benedictions upon us. Do you want auspiciousness given by the Lord? Do you want benedictions given by the Lord? Be united. That's what Prabhupada concludes in this purport. So, sometimes devotees may disagree with each other in terms of the details of a service. Okay? So, for example, festival is coming and you may have to perform the festival, do the decoration in a certain manner. You may have to stitch the dresses. You may have to purchase jewelry. You will have to organize for the menu, for the feast. So somebody will say, we will make gulab jamun. When you are finalizing the menu for the feast, someone will say, we'll have gulab jamun. Someone else will say, no, we'll have fruit custard. And the third person will say, no, not gulab jamun, not fruit custard. We should have basundi. Basundi along with jilebi. Okay? And jilebi, you pour basundi and then eat it. Okay? That we'll have. So, three opinions. This is not about difference of opinion. This is about how to render service to Krishna in the best possible way. Okay? So, we have to offer some bhoga to the deities and then prasad to the devotees. What item should we offer? So, everybody has their own plans. So, one devotee said, we should offer gulab jamun because in the last 2-3 festivals, we did not offer any milk-based sweet. Gulab jamun is milk-based, right? Not? That is milk-based, right? I am right. Okay. I don't know much about cooking. Okay. We did not offer any milk-based sweet. Last time we had mung dal halwa. Earlier we had suji halwa. So we did not have any milk-based. That was his logic. Okay. And someone who is proposing jilebi, he is a jilebi and basundi. He is saying that if we just put gulab jamun in his plate, so it's like one laddu is going, one circle, one ball is going there. But if we give a drone and put jilebi in it and then pour basundi in it, that looks very grand. The plate becomes full. Although the costing for both the items is same, gulab jamun is seen as a ball in one corner, but basundi with jilebi is seen as one full drone. Okay, small drone maybe. That gives it an impression. He is feeling like that. Someone else proposes some other sweet for some other reason. So all these people are disagreeing with each other. They are having different opinions, but they all have the intention to render service to Krishna. Nobody said that we should not offer sweet at all. They are only giving different options for sweets, but all of them agree to the principle of offering a sweet to the Lord, offering sweet to the devotees. You see, and finally they should come to certain understanding, and then what is practical. So now somebody will say gulab jamun is easy to make. You have to make jilebi. A person has to spend lot of time. So it's not implementable. Idea is good. It's within the budget also. But still, implementation requires more manpower and more time. We don't have it. So let us stick to gulab jamun. Okay, fine. Agreed. Whatever. He gives this. Someone will say this is not eco-friendly. It's not organic food. We don't have ingredients. So like that, he gave some reason. Someone else will give some other reason. So they should come to common consensus and then move ahead. Okay. So ideally, devotees may have a difference of opinion because everybody is an individual. They have a certain mood. But their difference of opinion will not lead to enmity amongst themselves. The difference of opinion amongst devotees should be seen as variety, not contradiction. Make sense? Somebody will say, we'll offer red dress to the deities. Someone will say, we'll offer green dress to the deities. Both of them have their own logic. But both are saying, we should offer some dress to the deities on the festival. Okay? And the third person will come up with a new idea. We'll offer red and green combination dress to the deities. This is a good idea. I never thought about it. Right, we'll have both colors predominantly, or we'll make the shawl with green color, we'll make the skirt with red color, so then it will have both colors, so they'll reconcile. So that kind of cooperation is needed. Difference of opinion, having difference of opinion is not wrong, but if the difference of opinion leads to enmity, that is wrong. Hanumanji was saying something and Vibhishan is saying something, but they are united in purpose. Later they did not become enemies to each other. Superiority, inferiority complex did not happen. Bhima and Draupadi. Okay. They have different opinion. But both of them are pleasing to the Lord. Okay. Ninth verse. Yonusmaranti sandhyayam. Yushman anudinam naraha. Tasya bhratrushvatma samyam. Tatha bhuteshu sauhrudam.
There is some 2-3 multiple devotees are coming to some common meeting and they are trying to decide. At that time, whatever the devotees there, each of them are contributing. The suppose someone, because one will have strong tendency of but strong emphasis on one particular opinion, what he is making. And after that, the common decision is being taken according to the opinion from everyone. But one may feel that the common consensus which has happened, it may not be the best. Now this is what one particular devotee is feeling. Now, and it may sometimes say, if it comes out to be true that common decision which has been taken is best, then one will understand that he was wrong. Then suppose if the common decision what was taken comes out to be not the best one, that one, the one feels that actually I was trying to give a better idea but it was not accepted. So in that sense,
there,
he feels either superior and he may blame others. So that would be the mood. So, but it is not a healthy attitude. He should feel that whatever was accepted, and sometimes because he may feel strongly that whatever he is saying is best, he may not be contributing to the common decision that is being taken. So would that be right or?
This kind of situations happen very often. Although we emphasize on the malleability that a devotee should exhibit and cooperating with each other, sometimes we may have to compromise on our own ideas, etc. Sometimes the common decision that is taken may not be the best decision from different perspectives. Okay? And the people who are participating in the meeting may not be willing to agree. Okay? Although you have the best idea. Best, what is best and what is not best could be relative in various ways, but still in that case your idea happened to be the best. Still one may not approve the decision that has been taken by a common pool, but one should not become inimical towards the devotees. Okay? One should not disrespect the devotees. Opinion is different. And the idea is, what is the decision that is being taken is not the best. Fine. And we also have to patiently wait what Krishna is unfolding or teaching us through this. That idea that the decision that was taken may prove to be wrong decision in some time. Then everyone will get their lesson. Then you should not feel proud that, array, that day I was saying that this is going to happen, but these fellows did not listen to me. You should not get into any disrespectful attitude towards these devotees. If you have some intimacy, you may say that also. You may say like that if he's your intimate friend. But it's not with a disrespectful tone, disrespectful attitude. Tone, you may tone down. But attitude, you have to be very careful. We should not disown the devotees just because we disapprove their plans. We should disapprove, but we should not disown. So, we should not lose respect. That's the crucial thing. And time will reveal whether it is good or bad. When it actually turns out to be bad, as per your expectation or guess, everybody will learn a lesson. And if it turns out to be good, you will learn a lesson. Okay? But the decision may not come for so long. Okay? And even if it turns out to be bad from your perspective, that is agreeable to everyone else. It's Krishna's man. We just have to feel that it's beyond my hands. We can't control everything. Just get this realization strong that we are not the controllers and then move ahead in life. Okay? Does it make sense, Prabhu? Because we cannot do everything. We cannot change the world. We cannot change the people. We did our best, but still that was not taken. We should just be a little detached in that context. That's all I can say. You tried your best to push your good thing. Anything you wanted to share? No?
Many times we work in a group as an individual performer rather than a team. And in whenever individual performance tendencies there, one's own opinion will value more. In that, benefit of doubt can be given, but still we need to value those who have played that role for some years, their opinion first of all, and experience. And still in a group, if some decision is made, that is a whole team's decision, not an individual decision. Whatever discussion need to happen, the discussion phase is there. But after discussion phase has gone, passed through, although whether it is my opinion accepted or somebody else's opinion accepted, ultimately now everybody should put their 100%. I am a part of the team, I should not restrain my energy because it's not my opinion anyhow. And waiting for the failures to prove
that it is wrong.
I have
predicted this.
Predicted. No, actually team is whatever may be the opinion. Once it is accepted, for common goal 100% need to be given. This is service attitude. Sugriva, whether his opinion was accepted or not. Once Rama, Hanuman, whole team accepted Vibhishan, let me accept. It's not that after that still Sugriva in between had some clashes in between. You are Rama's friend. No. Sugriva just accepted the opinion and he gave 100%. Whether it turned out as a good result or bad. And even if failure comes, telling that my opinion was not expected because of this, it happened. Actually, this is completely wrong attitude. Because failure comes, the failure of everybody, including me, because I am part of the team. So this attitude has to be there. But still, in practical world, when we execute, we have attachment to our opinion. No, it doesn't get buried so easily. We always, because of the ego, we want to prove that what I said 6 years before, I will prove. It's in process, 50% success is there, just wait. And I will show that what statement you made 8 years before was wrong. And sometimes it may be with equal or even to the superior also you want to prove it. So that proving mentality is never listed. It's not fitting to be interviewed.
When we are obsessed with proving that our opinion is better, we may, although the situation may reveal that the other opinion is good also, because of our ego, we want to sideline it, we want to bypass it. We cannot accept it. Ego doesn't allow us to accept it.
And another aspect of this, sometimes in a team, we are working as a team, but we avoid taking others' opinion, thinking that his opinion will be different. So better give an excuse. Probably you are not available on mail, on phone. So ultimately we came up with the decision.
I didn't get.
So because knowing that if we take his opinion, his opinion will be different and we can't execute the project. Better
sideline
him. Consider only the opinion.
Not consult.
And say that you are busy, you are not available.
Ab sikha na us din. Ab idhar nahi tha na. Aur idhar hi tha kya? I didn't know. That is called diplomacy.
So that is another way of working, which is also wrong.
Correct. Correct. Yonusmaranti sandhyayam. Yushman anudinam naraham. तस्य भ्रातृष्वात्मसाम्यं तथा भूतेषु सौहृदं. The Lord appreciated the friendly relationships between the Prachetas, and now he is saying, whoever remembers you, they will also become friendly with each other. So if all of you, all of us, Want to become friendly with each other? Let us remember prasitas. Okay? Yo anusmaranti, when? Sandhyayam, at sandhya time. So, every day, then we will become friendly with each other. So, simple thing he is saying, it's not like a phalashruti. He is saying, when we remember certain personalities, we get inspiration to do certain activities. Because that personality is good at this. Okay? How does he behave in this context? If we just remember him, then we immediately act like him. We try to follow him. Okay? So, we remember prachetas and they are known for their friendly relationships. For us to cultivate relationships, we should remember him. Simple. Yetutmam rudragitena sayam prataha samahitaha stuvantyaham kamavaran dasye prajnam cha shobhanam. So, yetumam rudragitena, whoever chants this rudragita, syam prataha samahitaha, in the morning and in the evening, I will give him all benedictions. Kama varan, whatever he desires, I will give them benedictions. Dasya prajnam cha shobhanam. In this way, they will fulfill their desires and attain good intelligence. Prajna also they get. Okay? So, this is the power of parampara system. So, Shiva taught this Rudra Gita to Prachetas, and now the Lord is recommending that following the footsteps of Prachetas, you also chant and you will get all benedictions. So if we repeat the teachings of the Acharyas, if we repeat the prayers of the Acharyas, so we will also be able to imbibe that mood and we will also get the benefit that they get. Okay. One who offers prayers to the Lord to fulfill his different desires must know that the highest perfectional fulfillment of desire is to go back home, back to Godhead. Okay. Next, 11th verse. Yadyuyam pituradesham agraheshtamudanvitah athova usati kirtir lokan anubhavishyati. So, yad yuyam pituradesham, all of you have accepted the adesha, the order of your pita, father. Agrahishta, you have accepted it, mudanvitaha, means with great pleasure. When our superior gives us an instruction, some service, we should accept with mudanvitaha, with pleasure. Okay? And, athavo ushati kirtir lokan anubhavishyati. And you have also executed it very faithfully, so your attractive qualities will be celebrated all over the world. The attractiveness of a disciple or a devotee lies in his obedience to Guru and Krishna. Lies in his alignment to the orders or teachings of Guru and Krishna. Our glory is not our independent achievements. Our glory is our dependence on the guidance of Guru and Krishna. Our obedience to Guru and Krishna. Our submissiveness to Guru and Krishna. Okay, how much are we aligned to their mood, their need, their teaching? That is very important. And the devotee has some independence. Every living entity has some independence. Okay? So, because we have independence, we can choose either to be obedient or disobedient. Krishna will never interfere with our independence. He gives instruction, but it's up to you whether you accept it or not. With our usage or misusage of our independence, either we become obedient or disobedient to his orders. If we become obedient, we become happy. If we disobey, we become unhappy. That much we should, common sense we should have, and then continue. But sometimes, although we have common sense, if I disobey this order, I will be unhappy. Still, we will disobey. Sometimes. Why? Because of the force of our previous conditionings. In the sadhaka stage, in the practicing stage, that happens. That happens several times, quite often. But if we have the intent to overcome those previous impressions, and if we have a sincere desire to align ourselves with the instructions of Guru and Krishna, one day we will be able to achieve it. You understand this? Right on day one, one will not be perfectly aligned with the instructions of Guru and Krishna completely, 100%. Not possible. We take our baby steps to align our mood with their instructions. And while taking that baby steps, we may fall down. A baby is walking like that. A small baby learning to walk. So while walking, after 2-3 steps, the baby may fall off. Okay. But taking support of the land, the baby may just get up. The small boy or girl may get up and then start to walk. While learning cycle, you may fall down several times. But slowly you just manage to climb on the seat and then learn to ride. So in practice stage, sometimes there may be failure to be obedient to the instructions of Guru and Krishna. But our sincerity depends on how much are we willing to follow them. How much are we endeavoring to follow them. We are not at the stage of completely following them at this stage, because of so many shortcomings and anarthas and inabilities and immaturities. But we should have willingness to follow. We should have a sincere desire to come up to that standard. One day Krishna will empower us to come up to that standard. It's a gradual process. Okay. So, 12th verse. Bhavita Vistrutaha Putro.
Bhavita Vistrutaha Putro.
Anava Navamo Brahmano Gunaihi.
Anava
Yaetam Atma Viryena Trilokim Purayishyati. You will have a nice son. He will say, the Lord is telling all these prachetas, you will have a nice son who will no way be inferior to Brahmaji in terms of, not in terms of devotion, but in terms of procreation, creation. So consequently, he will be very famous all over the universe, and the sons and grandsons generated by him will fill the three worlds. So he is basically predicting the birth of Daksha. Okay. 13th verse. Kandoha pramlochaya labdha kanya kamala lochana tam chapavidham jagruhur bhuruha nrpanandana kandoha pramlochaya labdha. So kandu and pramlocha gave birth to a lotus-eyed daughter, Kanya Kamala Lochana. What is her name? Anyone knows?
Pramlocha.
Pramlocha is the wife's name. I'm asking daughter's name.
Marisha.
Marisha. Okay. Kandu was doing some tapasya, and as usual, Indra became insecure. He had sent Pramlocha, an apsara, to distract him. And he was distracted. And as a result, this Marisha was born. And Pramlocha was an apsara. She cannot take care of children, babies. So she just left. And Kandu was a sage. He also cannot raise a daughter. He left. And the child was unattended. Moon god came there. Moon god kept his finger in the mouth of the child and then poured nectar into her mouth. And then she grew up under the care of moon god, basically under the care of trees. Because moon is considered to be the king of trees. Okay. So under the protection of trees, this girl was raised, and now she is at a marriageable age. All the prachetas, you 10 people, marry them, marry her. So after 10 people did 10,000 years of austerities, and all of them are having one common wife, not even 10 wives. So what Krishna does at the end of our devotional service, what Krishna gives the devotee, is totally up to him. We are dealing with a highly unpredictable personality. He doesn't align with our own patterns or expectations. So pure devotees are there, and but they are undergoing so many troubles. What is that verse in the Bhishma's episode? यत्र धर्मसुतो राजा गदापाणिर् वृकोदरः कृष्णोस्त्रि गांडीवम चापम सुहृत् कृष्णस्ततो विपत्। सो इन अमंग्स द पांडवास देर इज युधिष्ठिर महाराज हु इज द पर्सोनिफिकेशन ऑफ रिलीजियस प्रिंसिपल्स। देर इज भीमा विथ वन गदा विथ वन आर्म, इन हिज वन आर्म ही हैज द स्ट्रेंथ ऑफ 10,000 एलिफेंट्स। That means you keep 10,000 elephants in one line and Bhima will punch the first elephant and the 10,000th elephant will fall down, will collapse. You can imagine what happens to the first elephant. Okay. Then we have Arjuna, his Gandiva, and he impressed even Shiva, he impressed even Indra, he defeated so many other people. So like that, Pandavas are very well equipped spiritually and materially and Krishna is their direct well-wisher. Suhrut Krishna Tato Vipat. Who is the Suhrut or friend of Krishna, a friend of Pandavas? Directly Krishna. But still there are so many difficulties in Pandavas' lives. So we cannot expect a misery-free life, although we are devotees. We cannot expect a opulent life, although we are devotees. Some devotees underwent difficulties, so many miseries, so much injustice must have happened to them. And there are some devotees, like they were given something which is little surprising. Right, 10 of us, only one common wife, what's the problem? Because you're all cooperative. You can always live with one wife also, right? You should continue to cooperate like this, even in family life also. You have done in your devotional life cooperation, you show cooperation in family life, okay? So like that, Krishna has done like this. Then why Krishna has made this decision? He reveals in the next verse. Okay. Later verses. He says, all of you are very obedient to your superiors. And this girl, Marisha, he is also very obedient to her superiors. So because both of you are having similar qualities, same nature, you are compatible partners. So that's why I just give this decision. Okay. So, 14th verse. I summarized this 14th verse. The child is left under the care of the trees. 15th verse, the Lord says, marry this girl and create progeny.
So, in this connection, outside people, when we go for preaching, sometimes raise the question,
now, this is not possible or this is not recommended in this age. You should immediately give the time reference. Okay, in those days it was there. A man can marry multiple wives, but a woman cannot marry multiple husbands. But in exceptional cases, with the blessings of the Lord, such things are possible. We have only two references like that. Draupadi. So Draupadi's marriage with 5 Pandavas has been approved by Vyasadev. And Marisha's marriage with 10 Parichetas is directly, personally ordained by the Supreme Lord Vishnu. So you can tell them, if you have approval of Vishnu, you can do that. Okay. But at this age, this is not recommended. Yeah, correct. That is also a bona fide reference. Correct, correct. Different ages, different things. You tell them, you can also do 10,000 years of austerities under water. Then you can do all this. Okay.
And one more quality is that Draupadi was equal in seeing her husband.
Correct.
And on 5th year also she is treating her equally. Now people cannot do that. Here Prabhupada gives
her. Yes. Okay. With the blessings of the Lord, everything is possible. Next, 17th verse, he says, Divya Varsha Sahasranam Sahasram Ahataujasaha. I am just going little fast in the storyline and some common points that we are always discussing. So, enjoy the world by my mercy with full bodily strength. For 1,000,000 celestial years you can enjoy. So, the Lord has given the Prachetas 1,000,000 celestial years of lifespan, 1 million celestial years of ruling the kingdom with strong senses. After that also they live. Okay. So when the Lord is confident that the devotee will not be distracted by material opulence, the Lord will give him all material opulence. But if the Lord sees that this devotee will get distracted if he has material opulence, the Lord will take away everything. Whether in taking away the material wealth or bestowing material wealth, the Lord is only being merciful to the devotees.
Okay.
Lord has taken away everything from Bali Maharaj. Lord has given everything to Sudama. Sudama came with chipped rice and he did not open his mouth and ask Krishna that I have some financial problems, can you please help me? He didn't even ask. But Krishna has given unlimited wealth. He has made him a king. When he went back to his home, he did not even recognize his wife and his house. I was having a hut. What is this big palace here? And on the other hand, we have Bali Maharaj. The Lord said, I'll take only 3 steps of land. And he was a small boy at that time, a small Brahmana. But he has taken all the planetary systems and he says, I'm attributing Anrita Dosha to you. You have given a false promise. You haven't given me a check and you don't have sufficient balance in your bank account. The check bounced. I am putting a case on you. So Brahmaji came as a lawyer to take the side of Bali Maharaj. You have sufficiently humiliated him. Why are you torturing him more? Where will he get the 3rd step now? You have occupied everything in the universe with 2 steps. Where will he give you the 3rd step? Enough humiliation. The Lord says, you relax. I don't want any lawyers in this case. I'm dealing the case directly. Then Bali Maharaj says, put your thing on my head. And the head is also included in the universe. But the point is, Bali Maharaj had that identification that I am a great charitable person. Krishna or Vamandev, by taking away his wealth, he is taking away the false ego or the identification that Bali Maharaj had that he is a charitable person. He is purifying him of that tendency. So whether you are a king or a beggar, it doesn't matter to Krishna. Krishna looks at your attitude and he is pleased or displeased according to your attitude only, not your accomplishment. Where is Sudama, a poor Brahmana with torn clothes? Where is Bali Maharaj, who is the king of three planets? So there is a lot of difference. But Krishna's dealing with both these parties is exactly the same. Right? Everybody knows Bali Maharaj in the entire cosmic manifestation. He's so popular. Sudama, nobody knows. Okay? He was a poor Brahmana in his colony. Okay? Without a proper apartment also. All the sunlight and rain, everything comes directly into his hut. Because there is no proper roof also. Same thing with Sridhar Kolvecha also. His dhoti has 100 knots. Dhoti kedre we have to search. Because it's always torn and then he is putting. He doesn't have sui daga also to stitch. There is only knot. And he has a old iron pot. But the Lord gave him a lot of mercy. So from Krishna's perspective, he wants the devotee to be pure with a pure intent and pure attitude. Your accomplishment doesn't matter to him. Okay? Accomplishment is important. He is pleased also. But accomplishment without attitude is not pleasing to Krishna. Okay? With a pure attitude, if you accomplish a lot, that's wonderful. Krishna likes it. Okay? So, Bali Maharaj was proud that he is a great charitable person. By taking away the wealth of Bali Maharaj, Krishna purified him. Sudama was proud that he is a very detached person. By giving him lot of wealth to Sudama, Krishna purified him. I want my devotees to be pure. Whether they have wealth or don't have wealth, I don't mind. If giving them wealth makes them pure, I'll give them wealth. If taking away wealth makes them pure, I'll take away all the wealth. So, Prachetas were not interested in material opulence. Prahalad was not interested in material opulence. Dhruva was not interested in material opulence. But Krishna has given all of them material opulence. Because he was confident that my devotees will not get distracted from devotional service. Although they are in the midst of such facilities. On the other hand, there are some devotees who may get distracted. That's why Krishna applies this principle. Yasyaham anugrihanami harishye tadhanam shanaihi. Harishya means I will steal. Tad dhanam, all his wealth, shanaihi, gradually. then all his relatives and friends will abandon him. Who will be, make friendship with a poor fellow? All the relatives, all these people will abandon him, and Krishna will, and he will take shelter of Krishna helplessly. That's what Krishna did in the case of Avanti Brahman. Fine? Okay. Next. 18th verse. Athamayana bayanyam bhaktya pakva gunashayaha upas upayasyata madhama nirvidya nirayat ataha. Read the translation.
Thereafter, you will develop unadulterated devotional service unto me and be freed from all material contamination. At that time, being completely unattached to material enjoyment in the so-called heavenly planets as well as in hellish planets, you will return home back to Godhead.
Hmm. Okay.
Thereafter, you will develop unadulterated.
Bhaktya pakva gunashayaha. So it's not that they have ended their process of devotional service. After this ruling the kingdom, they will be trained more in devotional service by Narada Muni. They'll become more and more mature. Probably in that sense the Lord is saying. Okay. I'm not sure. So, pakva gunashayaha, by devotional service one is able to give up influence of modes. And Prabhupada also says that prachetas could live for millions of years to enjoy material facilities. They still would not be deviated from transcendental loving service. They are completely freed from material attachments. So with that confidence, Lord has given them the material opulence. Okay, and no place in the entire material world is fit for a devotee. Ah, Brahma Bhavana Loka. Ultimately, a devotee has to end up in the spiritual world only. He cannot make a permanent home here. He may come here for preaching, but that's not his permanent home. Okay, 19th verse. Griheshva visatam chapi pumsam kushala karmanam madvarta yad yatayamanam nabandhaya grihamatihi grihamataha. Read the translation.
Those who are engaged in auspicious activities in devotional service certainly understand that the ultimate enjoyer or beneficiary of all activities is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, when one acts, he offers the results to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and passes life always engaged in the topics of the Lord. Even though such a person may be participating in family life, he is not affected by the results of his actions.
This is a very nice verse. Griheshu avishatam chapi, although a devotee is in household life, still pumsam kushala karmanam, he is engaged in so many other activities that are related to household life. Madvarta yata yamanam, if he is fixed up in his regular devotional service of hearing madvarta, the Lord's topics, na bandhaya grihamataha, he will not be bound by that household life. Simple. A devotee may be in household life, and household life has so many distractions, so many engagements, and so many relations. But if a devotee sticks to hearing the topics of the Lord, hearing about the Lord, Krishna Katha, studying Bhagavatam, and hearing Bhagavatam, hearing Bhagavad Gita, hearing Chaitanya Charitamrita, and performing worship and services to the best of one's ability, then he will not be distracted in devotional service even while staying in grihastha life also. Okay. So problem is, one should not be fanatic to think that this ashram is better than that ashram. One should be mature enough to think that if one is sincere, if the devotee is sincere, he will go back to Godhead and Krishna will show mercy upon him. Krishna will not discriminate whether a person is a grihastha or a sannyasi or a brahmana or a kshatriya or a brahmachari or a vaishya or a sudra. These varnas and ashrams Krishna has created, but Krishna does not show his mercy based on varna and ashram or based on gender of a devotee, based on the geographical location. Indians more mercy, Americans no mercy, yes or no? So, children less mercy. And old people more mercy, you know. He can show mercy to 5-year-old Prahlad and Dhruva also. Okay. So from Krishna's side, there is no discrimination about the social status or the nationality or the gender of a devotee. He is equally disposed. So he is giving. In household life, how can you protect yourself from allurements of Maya? By taking shelter of the process of Krishna Katha. Okay. We have so many great exalted devotees in grihastha life. Their stories are filling the Bhagavatam pages. We have Swayambhu Manu, Parikshit Maharaj, Yudhishthir Maharaj, Prithu Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj, Ambarish Maharaj, Prachetas, Kardama Muni. All these are householder devotees. They are all pure devotees. Krishna has given darshan to them. Krishna has given his mercy to them. Okay. A devotee should act for Krishna. Whatever household duties he is doing, he should do them as a service to Krishna. Ignarthat karmanon yatra lokoyam karma bandhanaha. If one does not do his activities as an offering to Krishna, they will bind that devotee, that performer. But if he is doing that as an offering to Krishna, there is no bondage. If one is so expert that he can engage everything or dovetail everything in Lord's service, to give up material world would be great blunder for him. He has the knack, he has the smartness to engage everything in Krishna's service. Then he should be here, he should do some service here, he should connect everyone to Krishna consciousness. If he has the ability to preach, he will say, I will go into some cave and then do my Nirjan Bhajan. Right. So same activity can be the cause of bondage and can be the cause of liberation. Provided, depending on whether one is attached or detached. Prabhupada gives this example. If you eat lot of milk preparations, there may be diarrhea. But if you eat curd, the diarrhea may be counteracted. So, a devotee may enjoy material opulence also in devotional service. So, Yudhishthira Maharaj was the king, Parikshit was the king, Prachetas will become kings for 1 million celestial years. Still, all that material opulence will not be distracting to them in their devotional service. Read the 20th translation.
Always engaging in activities of devotional service, devotees feel ever increasing.
Okay, anyways, we'll read the verse also. Navyavad Dridhaye Yajno Brahmai Tad Brahma Vadibhi Namuhyanti Nashochanti Nahrishyanti Yato Gataha. A devotee who is always engaged in devotional service has these qualities. What is that? Navyavad Dridhaye means, Navya means what? New. His enthusiasm to perform devotional service becomes newer and newer. It's always fresh. He is always enthusiastic and eager to perform bhakti. Okay. Na muhiyanti. He will not be bewildered. Na shochanti. He will not lament. Na hrishyanti. He will not unnecessarily become excited, overexcited when some material pleasure comes to him. Okay. Four qualities of a devotee. One, Navyavad. He is always, his eagerness to render bhakti is always fresh. Navyavad. Second, Namuhyanti. No lamentation, na shochanti. No lamentation. Namuhyanti is no bewilderment. And then, na harishyanti means no overexcitement for material pleasures. Because he gets inspiration from the super soul always. What is that verse? Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mamapayantite. The Lord as super soul is always giving them inspiration, fresh inspiration to perform bhakti. They are always happy. Okay. Super soul exists in the heart of devotee, but in the actually super soul exists in the heart of everyone, not just devotee. But not everyone has the ability to access the signals of super soul. But a devotee can easily access the instructions of the super soul and connect it to the super soul and acknowledge the presence of the super soul and take benefit of it. Tadami buddhi yogam tam. He gets special instructions from Krishna. Okay. Just like someone is giving you advice, you listen to him, he will be inspired to give more advice later, is it not? He will be giving you more guidance. Like that, you keep on taking guidance and you will progress. But some you are doing something wrong and someone gave you some advice. You said, hey, get lost, I will not take your advice. The next time he will not give advice, simple. So when someone is doing mistake, the super soul urges that person through his common sense and consensus that please don't do this. Everybody who is doing some mistake, he is given by the super soul a signal that you should not do it. It is wrong. It is improper. But still he neglects that voice that is coming from within and he continues to do that mistake. And super soul also will become mild. Usko pata hai ki kuch fayda nahi. Fine. He'll relax. But a devotee accepts that signal and implements that signal. And super soul will give more and more guidance, more and more guidance. Dadami buddhi yogam tam. Ultimately he will give guidance to go back to Godhead. Dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayantite. I will give him that intelligence by which he can come back to me. Everything depends on how we reciprocate with the super soul. Okay. No, Maitreya is saying, evam bruvanam purushartha bhajanam janardhanam pranjalayah prachetasah taddarshana dhasta tamo arjomala giragranan gadgadaya suhrittamum evam bruvanam purushartha bhajanam. Maitreya Muni is concluding here that the Lord has spoken like this to the prachetas. Okay. And purushartha bhajanam means the Lord bestows the results of all purusharthas to all his devotees. Janardhanam, the Supreme Lord. Pranjalayaha prachetasaha. Prachetas with folded hands, they started offering prayers. Anjali. Tad darshana dhasta tamo rajomala. Tad darshana means by the darshan of the Lord, what happened? Dhasta. Destroyed. What was destroyed? Raja tama mala. The contamination caused by passion and ignorance has been destroyed by the darshan of the Lord. If we take darshan of Krishna, if we take darshan of Neelamadav, so, the contamination of our passion and ignorance will be destroyed. That's the effect of darshan. Morning we were discussing elaborately about darshan of the Lord. Okay, darshan means not just bringing our eyes in contact with a beautiful object. Darshan is much more than that. It's a reciprocation. So here the reciprocation happens through purification. Okay. Gira grinan gad gadaya suhruttamam. The Lord is Suhrut Tama. The best of all our friends is Krishna. So then Prachetas started offering their prayers. Prachetasa uchuhu. So from here the prayers will begin. They are extremely relishable prayers. Very beautiful prayers. Okay, I'll take few of them. Although it's 5:15. I won't be able to complete 4.31 by tomorrow if I go very slow. So I'll take few prayers today. At least 15 minutes we'll take. Is it okay? Fine? You're hungry? Okay. Namo namah klesha vinashanaya.
Namo namah klesha vinashanaya.
Nirupito dara gunahvayaya.
Nirupito dara gunahvayaya.
Mano vacho vega puro javaya.
Mano vacho
ಸರ್ವಾಕ್ಷಮಾರ್ಗೈರಗತಾಧ್ವನೇ ನಮಃ. ನಮೋ ನಮಃ. ಐ ಆಫರ್ ಮೈ ಒಬೇಸೆನ್ಸಸ್ ಅನ್ ಟು ದಟ್ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಹೂ ಈಸ್ ಕ್ಲೇಶ ವಿನಾಶನಾಯ. ಕ್ಲೇಶ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಮಿಸರೀಸ್, ವಿನಾಶನಾಯ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಒನ್ ಹೂ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಯುನೋ ಡಿಸ್ಟ್ರಾಯ್ ದೋಸ್ ಮಿಸರೀಸ್. ನಮೋ ನಮಃ ಕ್ಲೇಶ ವಿನಾಶನಾಯ. ಐ ಆಮ್ ಆಫರಿಂಗ್ ಮೈ ಒಬೇಸೆನ್ಸಸ್ ಟು ದಟ್ ಡಿಸ್ಟ್ರಾಯರ್ ಆಫ್ ಮಿಸರೀಸ್. ಇಫ್ ಯು ಆಫರ್ ಒಬೇಸೆನ್ಸಸ್ ಟು ಕೃಷ್ಣ, ಹಿ ವಿಲ್ ಡಿಸ್ಟ್ರಾಯ್ ಆಲ್ ಅವರ್ ಮಿಸರೀಸ್. ತ್ರೀ ಟೈಪ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಕ್ಲೇಶಸ್ ಆರ್ ದೇರ್, ಆಲ್ ದೀಸ್ ಕ್ಲೇಶಸ್ ಆರ್ ಗಾನ್ ವೆನ್ ಇಫ್ ಯು ವೆನ್ ವಿ ಟೇಕ್ ಶೆಲ್ಟರ್ ಆಫ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ಓಕೆ. ಸೆಕೆಂಡ್, ನಿರೂಪಿತ ಉದಾರ ಗುಣ ಅಹ್ವಯಾಯ. ಗುಣ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಕ್ವಾಲಿಟೀಸ್, ಅಹ್ವಯ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ನೇಮ್ಸ್. ದ ಕ್ವಾಲಿಟೀಸ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ನೇಮ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಆರ್ ಉದಾರ, ವೆರಿ ಮ್ಯಾಗ್ನಾನಿಮಸ್, ನಿರೂಪಿತ. ಇಟ್ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಬಿನ್ ಪ್ರೂವ್ಡ್, ದ ಕನ್ಕ್ಲೂಷನ್ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಬಿನ್ ಸೆಟಲ್ಡ್. ಇನ್ ಮ್ಯಾಥಮೆಟಿಕ್ಸ್ ಯು ರೈಟ್ ಎ ಥಿಯರಮ್, ಎಟ್ ದ ಎಂಡ್ ಯು ಸೇ ಹೆನ್ಸ್ ಪ್ರೂವ್ಡ್, ಹೆನ್ಸ್ ಪ್ರೂವ್ಡ್ ಯು ಸೇ ರೈಟ್. ಸಿಮಿಲರ್ಲಿ ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಹೆನ್ಸ್ ಪ್ರೂವ್ಡ್ ದಟ್ ದ ಸುಪ್ರೀಂ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಮ್ಯಾಗ್ನಾನಿಮಸ್ ನೇಮ್ಸ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಮ್ಯಾಗ್ನಾನಿಮಸ್ ಕ್ವಾಲಿಟೀಸ್. ಫೈನ್, ಟೂ ಲೈನ್ಸ್ ಆರ್ ಕ್ಲಿಯರ್. ಥರ್ಡ್ ಲೈನ್, ಮನೋವಚೋ ವೇಗ ಪುರೋಜವಾಯ. ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಈಸ್ ವೆರಿ ಫಾಸ್ಟ್, ಹೀ ಈಸ್ ಫಾಸ್ಟರ್ ದ್ಯಾನ್ ಅವರ್ ಮೈಂಡ್, ಹಿ ಆರ್ ಫಾಸ್ಟ್, ಹೀ ಈಸ್ ಫಾಸ್ಟರ್ ದ್ಯಾನ್ ಅವರ್ ಸ್ಪೀಚ್. ಮನೋವಚೋ ವೇಗ, ವೈ ಮನೋವಚೋ ವೇಗ ಈಸ್ ಮೆನ್ಷನ್. ಅವರ್ ಮೈಂಡ್ ಈಸ್ ಸೋ ಫಾಸ್ಟ್. ಅಟ್ ದಿಸ್ ಟೈಮ್ ವಿ ಮೇ ಬಿ ಸ್ಟೇಯಿಂಗ್ ಎಟ್ ಧಾರ್ವಾಡ್, ಬಟ್ ವಿತ್ ಇನ್ ಎ ಮೂಮೆಂಟ್ ಅವರ್ ಮೈಂಡ್ ಮೇ ಗೋ ಟು ಆಸ್ಟ್ರೇಲಿಯಾ, ಅಮೆರಿಕಾ, ಡೆಲ್ಲಿ. ವಿತ್ ಇನ್ ಒನ್ ಸೆಕೆಂಡ್ ಇಟ್ ವಿಲ್ ಗೋ, ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಮೈಂಡ್ ಈಸ್ ಸೋ ಫಾಸ್ಟ್. ವರ್ಡ್ಸ್, ವಿ ಮೇ ಬಿ ಎ ಸ್ಮಾಲ್ ಚೈಲ್ಡ್, ಎ ಸ್ಮಾಲ್ ನಿಯೋಫೈಟ್ ಬಿ ಲೈಕ್ ಧ್ರುವ ಮಹಾರಾಜ್, ಬಟ್ ಹಿಸ್ ವರ್ಡ್ಸ್ ಆರ್ ಸೋ ಹೈ. ಐ ವಾಂಟ್ ಟು ಅಟೈನ್ ಎ ಪೊಸಿಷನ್ ವಿಚ್ ಇಸ್ ಸುಪೀರಿಯರ್ ಟು ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಾಜಿ. Verbally, he is speaking big, big things, right? The vachovegam is a lot, okay? So, manovega, vachovega are very high. They are very fast. But manovachovega purojavaya, the Lord will surpass the fastness of our mind and words also. Sarvaksha margai ragata dhvane namaha. Sarva aksha margai means all our senses have their paths. Agata adhvane namaha. You go through this path. Means the senses are showing some path. Okay? You travel in that path. Agata adhvane namaha. You cannot reach the Lord by that. That means the Lord is beyond the reach of our senses. What is the path of eyes? Seeing something. What is the path of ears? Hearing something. What is the activity of nose? Smelling something. So with all these sensual functions, we cannot understand the Lord. That's why the Lord is called Adhokshaja. Adho Akshaja. Okay? So He is beyond the reach of our senses. Okay? Prayer is clear. Namo Namah Klesha Vinashanaya.
Namo Namah Klesha Vinashanaya.
Nirupitodara Guna Vayaya. ಮನೋವಚೋ ವೇಗ ಪುರೋಜವಾಯ ಸರ್ವಾಕ್ಷ ಮಾರ್ಗೈರಗತಾಧ್ವನೇ ನಮಃ. ಶುದ್ಧಾಯ ಶಾಂತಾಯ ನಮಃ ಸ್ವನಿಷ್ಠಯ ಮನಸ್ಯ ಪಾರ್ಥಂ ವಿಲಸದ್ವಯಾಯ. ನಮೋ ಜಗತ್ಸ್ಥಾನಲಯೋದಯೇಷು ಗೃಹೀತಮಾಯ ಗುಣವಿಗ್ರಹಾಯ. ಶುದ್ಧಾಯ, ವಿ ಆರ್ ರಿಸೈಟಿಂಗ್ ದ ಸೆಕೆಂಡ್ ವರ್ಸ್ ನೌ. ಶುದ್ಧಾಯ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಈಸ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ರೀಮ್ಲಿ ಪ್ಯೂರ್, ಫ್ರೀ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಎನಿ ಕಂಟಾಮಿನೇಷನ್. ಶಾಂತಾಯ, ಎಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ರೀಮ್ಲಿ ಪೀಸ್ಫುಲ್, ಹಿ ಇಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಅಜಿಟೇಟೆಡ್, ಹಿ ಇಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಪ್ರವೋಕ್ಡ್. Right, if someone just scratches our ego, we get agitated and we get provoked. The Lord is not like that. Shuddhaya, Shantaya, Namaha. I offer my obeisances unto that Lord. Swanishthaya. The Lord is fixed up in His own glory. One cannot deviate the Lord from His situation, from His position. One may become very glorious in this material world, one may become very famous. Okay, someone will come and scratch him and he will fall down, or he may be deviated. But the Lord is fixed up in his position. Shuddhaya Shantaya Namaha Svanishthaya. Second line. Manasi Apartham Vilasad Dvayaya. Dvaya means what?
Duality.
Happiness, distress, friend, enemy, Svarga, Naraka, Sukha, Dukha. These are all dualities. Okay, such pairs are there, opposite pairs. So that is Dvaya. So, Manasi Apartham Vilasad Dvayaya. What does that mean? It means that the material world is filled with dualities, and by the mercy of the Lord, this material world filled with dualities because of material mind appears to be meaningless to us. Apartham. Is clear? Manasi apartham vilasad dvayaya means the material world filled with dualities will seem to us insubstantial and useless and meaningless only when we have His mercy. Otherwise, we think that this material world is meaningful, substantial, great, exciting. But if we have His mercy, then we'll see this as meaningless. All these dualities are insubstantial. Prahalad had that mercy of the Lord. So, he did not discriminate between friends and enemies. For me, everybody is a part and parcel of Krishna, a servant of Krishna. Where is this discrimination of happiness, friends and enemies coming? Okay, so Prahalad Maharaj did not distinguish. So, for him, there is no dvaya, there is no duality. Okay. Manasya partham vilasad dvayaya. Next. Namo jagat sthana layoda yeshu. Jagat means this universe. Sthana means
maintenance.
Sthana, laya means destruction. Udaya means
creation.
So this jagat is created, maintained and destroyed. Right? For this purpose, means for the purpose of creating, maintaining and destroying this universe, namo jagat sthana layoda yeshu grihita maya guna vigrahaya. The Lord has accepted this maya guna. What are maya gunas? Maya means material nature. Guna means qualities of material nature. Basically, there are three modes of material nature. Guna vigraha means the presiding deities of those gunas. Who are they? Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, they are guna avatars. Okay? The Lord has accepted the forms of three guna avatars to perform the functions of creation, maintenance and destruction. Clear? Namo jagat sthana layodayeshu.
Namo jagat sthana layodayeshu.
Grihita maya guna vigrahaya.
Grihita maya guna vigrahaya.
Although he has accepted these three forms of material modes, he himself is not influenced by them. He became in charge of them as guna avataras and then orchestrating this creation, maintenance and destruction. Next. Namo avishuddha sattvaya.
Namo avishuddha sattvaya.
Haraye hari medhase.
Haraye hari medhase.
Vasudevaya krishnaya.
Vasudevaya krishnaya.
Prabhave sarva sattvatam.
Prabhave sarva sattvatam.
Namo vishuddha sattvaya. The Lord is vishuddha sattva. Extremely pure, completely freed from material contamination. Namo Vishuddha Sattvaya Haraye. The Lord is Hari. And the Supreme Lord Hari. Hari Medhase. Medha means? Intelligence. Okay. Hari Medha. Hari means one who steals. Hari Medhase means the Lord's intelligence constantly thinks or works how to steal. Means he is always planning to steal. Always planning to rob. That's what Hari Medhase means. In Vrindavan, Krishna does it. In which gopis, how should I go and steal their, Navaneet, their butter, their yogurt, their this and that. But in In the case of conditioned souls, what does he steal? He steals our material desires. He steals our enjoyment inclinations. Okay, we are inclined to enjoy separately from Krishna. Those inclinations are stolen by the Lord. He steals our material miseries. That's why Hari Medhase. He is Hari, a thief, one who steals. Hari Medhase, his intelligence is constantly thinking how to steal all our miseries. He is the one who relieves us from all material miseries by stealing them away from us. Haraye Hari Medhase. Very nice, right? Exciting prayer. Right? Haraye Hari Medhase.
Hari Medhase is mentioned. Whose brain works only to deliver the conditioned souls.
Brain works only to deliver the conditioned souls. Deliverance means stealing their miseries. Next. Vasudevaya. You know, he's all pervading Vasudevaya. Krishnaya. Next line is very exciting. Prabhave sarvasattvatam. Prabhava means influence. Sarvasattvatam means all his devotees. The Lord will work to increase the influence of his devotees. Means he wants his devotees to become more glorified and more greater than he himself. Morning we discussed in the case of Sarva Saundarya Sangraham. You remember that? Beautiful character. What is the beauty of that character? He wants to give more credit to his devotees. Same thing came here. He wants to... Punya Shlokaya Kirtaye. Correct. So he wants to glorify his devotees. Prabhavaya Sarva Sattvatam. So now... The first line of this verse says Namo Vishuddha Sattvaya. This is very much connected to the last line of previous verse. What was the last line of previous verse? Grihitamaya Gunavigrahaya. He has accepted the three material modes and manifested himself as three Gunavataras. Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva. Sattva, Rajas, Tamo, Guna, Avataras. Although he accepted gunas and gunavataras, he himself is Vishuddha Sattva. He is not Sattva, he is Vishuddha Sattva. He is beyond the material modes. Okay, connection. Yeah. So Prabhupada will not stick to any, giving us any suspense. Okay. Because he is not sure whether we will read it completely or not. That Kaliyuga reading patterns are so haphazard, they may open the book from middle, they may close the book in middle, they may read from front to back or back to front. We don't know all what kind. They may directly go to Ras Panchayat and read. Okay, ye pastime acha lag raha hai, theek hai, ye padh leta hu pehle. They may not go systematically. So Prabhupada has to repeat conclusions everywhere. So whichever page you open, there is some bhakti there. Like that. Prabhupada is the most merciful acharya. Because I am confident that you will sit in the class till the end of the class. I may maintain some suspense. But Prabhupada is not confident that people will read his books completely. Only his devotees will read. But general janta, so like that. Namaha Kamala Nabhayam. Namaha Kamala Malinim. Namaha Kamala Padayam. Namaste Kamalekshana. What is this verse similar to? Namaha Pankajana. Who offered this prayer first? No. Prachitas offered first. Kunti Maharani offered the prayer 5,000 years back. It came in first canto, that doesn't mean she offered first.
She did not recollect
these prayers. I'm just saying who offered the prayer first. Okay. Who copied the prayer, I didn't ask. Namaha Kamala Nabhaya. We have lotus navel. Kamala Malini, lotus garland. Kamala Padaya, lotus feet. Kamalekshana, lotus eyes. No more elaboration, you know it very well. Namaha Kamala Kinjalkam. Pishangamala Vasasem. Sarvabhuta Nivasayam. Namo Yungshmahi Sakshini. Namaha Kamala Kinjalka. Kamala Kinjalka means the inside of the lotus, that whorl. What is that? Morning you said? Pollen. Yellowish pollen. Pishanga Amala Vasasi. Vasa means his cloth. Is so spotless and so pure and so bright like the yellow pollen of lotus. first two lines are describing only the dress of the Lord. Next, sarva bhuta nivasaya, as super soul, the Lord stays within the hearts of everyone. Namo yungshmahi sakshine, he is the sakshi, he is the witness of all our activities and thoughts also. Whether we are thinking in a positive way or negative way, whether we are acting in a positive way or negative way, everything is noted down by the Lord. He observes. Not only he observes, he remembers everything. We may forget what we thought and what we acted, but the Lord remembers. That's a good news for us, that's a bad news for us also. How it is, you know. Rupam Bhagavatatvetat Asesha Klesa Sankshayam Avishkritam Naklishtanam Kimanyat Anukampitam. Rupam Bhagavatatu Etat. My dear Lord, you have manifested this beautiful eight-handed form in front of all of us. It's divine. It's transcendental. Asesha Klesa Sankshayam. This form will completely vanquish all our miseries. Asesha Klesha Sankshayam. The first prayer is similar to this. Namo Namaha Klesha Vinashanaya. Same thing he mentioned here. Avishkritam Naha Klishtanam. Avishkar means inaugurating, launching, manifesting, showing. Okay, Avishkritam Naha Klishtanam. You have manifested this form in front of us because we are suffering klishtas, so many miseries. Kimanyat Anukampitam, what could be a greater mercy? For a person who is suffering the material miseries, the Lord is coming personally and showing His form. What could be a greater Anukampa, mercy than this? Prachetas are acknowledging the mercy that they received from the Lord. Fine? So, the Lord's mercy is available to common men, to the devotees and to the demons also. The Lord will appear to the demons and then kill them. The Lord will appear to the devotees in His original form. But in both ways, the Lord is delivering them only. He is annihilating the demons and giving them liberation. He is showing mercy to the devotees. Okay, whether it is the Lord's appearance diminishes all kinds of miserable conditions caused by the material existence. Okay. And Prachetas saw the form of the Lord directly, but we can also see the form of the Lord directly in the form of a deity. So the Lord very mercifully manifests His form as a deity when we are fortunate. So we should grab that fortune of worshipping the deity, offering prayers to the deity, taking advantage of the presence of a deity in our community or whatever, and advance spiritually. Because the Lord has mercifully manifested this form. This deity form is the mercy manifestation of the Lord. So that deity form is elaborated more in the 28th verse. Etavattvam hi vibhubir bhavyam dineshu vatsalaihi yadanusmaryate kale svabuddhya bhadrarandhana.
Dear Lord, you are the killer of all inauspicious things. You are compassionate upon your poor devotees through the expansion of your Acharya. You should certainly think of us as your eternal servants.
Okay. So, you are extremely merciful in the form of Archa Vigraha. So, as the deity, the Lord accepts the neophyte service. Yesterday, or day before yesterday, we discussed why deity worship is introduced. You remember that? Yes, Sudama Prabhu, you tell.
Why deity worship is introduced?
That is question. I want answer.
Neophyte can take advantage of it, can come out of conditioning by worshipping deity, and we have the best way to purify when we are conditioned. Then our senses need higher engagement.
Fine. I want the answer that we discussed that day from 7th canto. You gave a generic answer. Aisa marks nahi milega. Many times in our Bhakti Vaibhav Bhakti Shastri exams, devotees present their general understanding. Okay, exam is an Isupanishad. They quote Bhagavatam, CC, everything they quote. They have a generic understanding, right? Okay. Yes, Apurva Prabhu, you tell.
In Treta Yuga, people start stopping, people stop the respecting other people. So sages started deity worship so that at least they see the form of the Lord and they start respecting the form of the Lord. And after some time, they will start respecting the other
people. Correct. So, everybody is a part and parcel of Krishna, and Krishna's expansion as super soul is staying in the hearts of every living entity. Thus, every living entity deserves respect. Especially Vaishnavas, devotees deserve also respect. But as the ages, yugas are progressing, at one stage, people lost respect for other devotees and other people in general. They are not acknowledging the connection of different people with the Supreme Lord. Right? They started dealing with each other in a disrespectful manner. So deity worship has been introduced. Because you are unable to see the presence of God in all living entities, at least see the presence of the God in the form of a deity and then start respecting. You remember now? That's what we discussed. This is from 7th Canto.
And then in Kali Yuga, is it that in Kali Yuga people will not understand that how deity is authorized incarnation of Lord, then there is a need of holy name?
You don't give your purport. Kali Yuga, we have to take shelter of holy names, no doubt about it. They have a bona fide reference. And deity worship is also given as one of the prominent angas of bhakti. The five prominent limbs of bhakti, you know, amongst them deity worship is also there. So that will purify us, that will make us clean, and whatever answer you give some time back, that is applicable. Okay. Okay. Yena upashantir bhutanam shullakanam apihatam antarhitontar hridayem kasman no vedana shishah. Read.
The Lord, out of His natural compassion, thinks of His devotee. By that process only are all desires of the neophyte devotee fulfilled. The Lord is situated in every living entity's heart, although the living entity may be very insignificant. The Lord knows everything about the living entity, including all His desires. Although we are very insignificant, why should the Lord not know our desires?
So, the Lord fulfills the desires of all living entities. It's a generic statement. The Lord, being the super soul, in the hearts of all living entities, not just human beings, not just Dharwadvasis or Dwarkavasis, everybody. Even if the living entity commits such abominable activities and takes birth as a worm in the stool also, the Lord accompanies that living entity right within His heart. Okay? So as super soul, He notes down the desires of all the living entities and He sanctions them and facilitates them. Okay? Through Maya. So if that opportunity is available for all living entities to get their desires fulfilled by the Lord, by the super soul, why not for devotees? The Lord will fulfill the desires of devotees also. However, we may have a doubt. I have so many desires and Lord never fulfill my desires. Okay? The verse says the Lord will fulfill everybody's desires, especially devotees' desires. What is happening in my life? So along with your ability to desire, you are also given certain deservance, whether you deserve it or not. Okay, and you are destined to enjoy or suffer in a certain manner. Randomly you may have a certain desire. Second, it also depends on the strength of the desire. Sometimes we may desire something and the desire will just come like this and then go like this. We may not strongly desire it, especially in spiritual things. We may go in front of the Lord and offer prayers, Krishna, please make me attentive in my chanting, and we don't act according to that desire. Right? While chanting, we may do something else. We may think of something else. So, we have that desire, but it is not strong enough. But Dhruva Maharaj's desire was so strong, he was so determined, so the Lord reciprocated. And another reason. The Lord may not immediately fulfill a desire. He may fulfill the desire after 10 years, or after 20 years, or in the next lifetime. Who knows? But the Lord fulfills the desires. Okay? Next. Prabhupada writes. Okay, I already explained what Prabhupada wrote. Asaveva varosmakam. Asaveva varosmakam. Ipsito jagatah pate. Prasanno bhagavan esham. Apavarga gurur gatihim. So, because you fulfill all the desires of people, we have some desires. So far, they just glorified the Lord and His various qualities. You destroy miseries, you are Vasudeva, you are Krishna, you are Shanta, you are this, you are that. They just glorified Kamala Nabha, Kamala Malini. So far, there was glorification. Now there is expression of desire. Okay? Asaveva varosmakam, we also have some desire. Ipsito jagatah pate, O Lord, you are the pati, you are the master of this entire jagat. Prasanno bhagavan yesham, please be pleased with us. Apavarga gurur gatihi, you are the, again they are glorifying the Lord only in this verse also. They are just mentioning that we have some desire to get fulfilled. Okay. And what is the desire? In this it's mentioned, Prasanno bhagavan yesham. They did not actually express their desires. That will come little later. But at this stage, they just mentioned their generic desire. We desire your satisfaction, my dear Lord. May you be pleased with us. That's our desire. When we are expressing this desire, we should also be aware that by saying this, we are agreeing that we will act according to His satisfaction. Prasanna ho, Prabhu, prasanna ho. We may say like that. For Him to become prasanna, we should act like that. That's assumed in this. Interesting, right? So, may you be satisfied with us. That is our desire. Means, I have to act according to your satisfaction. What will satisfy Him? When we perform pure devotional service, no motivation, no interruption, and a big list will come. Okay? Very deep desire. Before repeating this prayer, think once again. So, apavarga gurur gatihi. Next verse. So, some certain details of the purports I am not discussing. They are straightforward. And we have already discussed them in our discussion so far. And that's why I am not going into specific details. Some I will go. Varam vrani mahethapi. नाथत्वत् परतः परात् नहियंतस्त्वद् विभूतीनां सोनंत इति गीयसे. Very important verse. They are only doing warm up. They are only giving advertisement. We have a desire, please fulfill. We have a desire, please fulfill. They are not coming to the point. They will come to the point in 33rd verse. From 33rd verse, that we will do tomorrow only. Today I'll do till 32. Okay, they are just doing some warm up. Varam vridimahe athapi, my dear Lord, we therefore pray for a benediction from you. We desire your satisfaction and we ask you for a benediction in those lines. Okay. And again, they did not say that they desire. They say, nathatvat paratah parat. My dear Lord, you are parataha parat. Para means transcendental. Okay? Transcendental means it's beyond this material world. What is beyond this material world? Brahma Jyoti. Parataha parat means you are beyond that which is beyond the material world also. Means you are beyond the Brahma Jyoti also. Natha, O Lord, parataha parat. You are beyond para. Fine? Next. Nahiyantastvad vibhutinam. Vibhuti means opulences, powers. Nahi antaha means there is no limit to your powers, energies. Because there is no limit to your powers means your powers are unlimited. So ananta iti giyase, you are glorified as ananta. You are ananta. They are saying that we have a desire, we are asking a benediction, and immediately they are saying you are ananta, you are unlimited. Because you are unlimited, we are going to ask you an unlimited benediction. We will not ask you something very limited. See their intelligence in offering prayer. Okay. So you are parataha parat, you are beyond the transcendental also. Transcendental means beyond. You are beyond the transcendence also. So you are better than the best. Okay, that what is that company? Onida, right? Better than the best. Some company has this tagline, better than the best. They have stolen from Krishna. Better than the best means parataha parat. That is applicable to Krishna, not all TV companies or mobile companies. Okay. So, because the Lord is unlimited, prachetas are going to ask an unlimited benediction. Devotee simply wants the presence of the Lord, either in this world or in the next world, and they just want to engage in the service of the Lord. And that service to the Supreme Lord is their ultimate goal and the unlimited benediction that the devotees desire. Before the prachetas express their desire, Prabhupada is revealing what is that desire. Okay, Prabhupada will not stick to suspense, right? So, the benediction, what is the benediction that has no limit? Very interesting thing. So, Prachetas did not ask for this benediction of liberation. Prachetas did not ask for the benediction of heavenly happiness. Prachetas did not ask for release from cycle of birth and death. All of them, they are not interested. They are interested in something which is unlimited. What is that benediction that is unlimited? Prabhupada writes, Prachetas plan to ask the Lord for something that has no limit. Lord's pastimes, qualities, forms, names are all unlimited. Nothing is unlimited in the material world. Only the Lord's names and pastimes, Nama, Karma, Guna, Leela, they are unlimited. The living entity cannot even conceive the unlimitedness of this unlimited names and forms of the Lord. So when Prachetas are asking that benediction, may we get an opportunity to engage in Krishna Katha, which is unlimited. So chapter is not completed. There is unlimited details in the chapter. Okay. So by tomorrow we will complete the chapter and next chapter also. But still that is not the end of Krishna Katha. There is unlimited. There are 18,000 verses. And not just Bhagavatam. There are unlimited scriptures. Okay. So like that, not just me. There are unlimited devotees who are glorifying the Lord. Like that, if you keep on hearing the glorification, it's unlimited. Lifetimes and lifetimes and light years are also not sufficient to hear the glories of the Lord sufficiently. That's why it is unlimited benediction. So to kill the suspense following the footsteps of Prabhupada, I am saying, Prachetas will ask for this benediction. May we get an opportunity to hear Krishna Katha in the association of devotees. Exactly similar to what Dhruva Maharaj has asked. What did he ask? Yanirvritis tanubhratam tavapada padma dhyanat bhavat jana katha sravanena vasyat. I want to hear Krishna Katha in the association of your devotees. Bhavat katha sravanena vasyat. Bhavat jana katha. Okay, bhavat jana means devotees. Katha means Krishna's glories. I want to hear. Then bhaktim muhuhu pravahatam tvayime prasango bhuyad ananta mahatam amalasayanam yenanja solpana muru vyasanam bhavabdhim neshye bhavat guna katha amruta panam mattaha. I get intoxicated by hearing your unlimited glories. Same thing he is also saying. What did Shiva say sometime back? Shiva also said something similar. I want the association of devotees. Okay. Hearing Krishna Katha in the association of devotees is the unlimited benediction that is the ultimate aspiration of every pure devotee. What is worthy for aspiring? Bhagavatam tells us. If we aspire for something, we should aspire for something worthy, something useful, not something very petty and useless and stupid and something which is perishable. There is one story in Andhra, there is one proverb. Some poor fellow goes to the king and the king asks, whatever you want, you take from me, what do you want? Then this person says, I want one palak bundle. Palak, you know, palak, totakora. In Telugu, if some Telugu people are there, they can say palak. Means that lady or whoever, that she may like palak sabji or whatever. I just give me some palak, I will go and cook and eat it. That is not said to glorify simplicity of that lady. The stupidity of that lady only was glorified there, was mentioned there. Aray, king is saying you can just have, you can ask for any benediction. You can ask for a cook. You can ask for unlimited quantities of food. You can ask him to make your friend and take all facilities. You can ask for Artha Rajya. But, and Prabhupada gives this another story. There is an old woman. She was carrying a load of wood from the forest. So she was very tired, she was carrying, and at one point she just dropped them, that big load, very heavy. And she just fell down there. And then she was unable to lift and put it on her head again, she was tired. She said, oh God. And God came and said, what do you want me to do? You called me. She said, put this load on my head. Okay. So that I can go back. God came, he can take you back to spiritual world and you say, put this load again on my head. What kind of stupidity is this? Foolishness. Like that. So when you go to the Lord, ask for an unlimited benediction. What is unlimited benediction? Hearing Krishna Katha in association of devotees. At this stage of our advancement, we may not appreciate this benediction so much. That's our misfortune. We have unlimited opportunity to hear Krishna Katha. Let the class end. We are hungry. It's 5:50 now. 5 o'clock class is supposed to end. You all came late today. 3:30 you came. We said 3 o'clock. That's why I'm extending. Okay, I have to complete syllabus also. So, because we don't have sufficient taste or our innate swabhava, as spirit soul has not been discovered completely. Discovered means what is covering it? The impressions of false ego and material desires are covering that. So we have not sufficiently uncovered the soul from all these material impressions. We are unable to appreciate this benediction. Although we intellectually appreciate this benediction, we are unable to actually desire for such a benediction at this stage of our life. Okay, because we have not completely tasted it. Our taste is maybe on an intellectual platform or because on sadhana platform. Because it is a prescription of Guru and prescription of Krishna, let us hear Katha. Because it is a rule that is set in our temple that every month we should have 4 days of Vidyapit classes, we have to hear, maybe that is there. Or you may have some little taste, but it's not unlimited taste. They are saying you want this benediction. The Lord is standing in front and he says, give us the association of devotees. We will go and sit in Katha, Bhagavad Katha there. And I am here. You are here, you be there. We will go and hear about you. If you want, you also come. You will also get ecstasy. Krishna Katha is that thing that gives ecstasy to Krishna also. That is absolute in nature. It's not, these people are not sentimentalists. They are most intelligent people. When Krishna and Balaram heard their own glories, their own Vrindavan pastimes, their eyes have become big, their nose and everything has become big, all their hands and legs melted, and they became very ecstatic. In that ecstasy, their forms changed, and that is the form of Jagannath Baladev Subhadra. Even Krishna becomes ecstatic hearing his own katha. Because Krishna katha is absolute in nature, that gives pleasure to Krishna also and devotees also. Why we are unable to experience that pleasure? Because of material impressions. At this stage, we just note it down. We will come to this stage after a long time, but at least we can appreciate. Fourth canto is filled with that glories. Dhruva prayed like that. Shiva prayed like that. Prachetas sprayed like that. And later, before that, Prithu Maharaj also will play like that, pray like that. He says, I don't want liberation, I don't want heavenly planets. Sauttama shloka mahan mukhachyuto bhavat padam bhoja sudhakanaya nila. Smritim vismrita tattva vartmanam kuyoginam no vitaratyalam varaihi. Nakamayenatha tatapyaham kuchin nayatra yushmaha charanam bujasavaha. Mahattamantar hradayan mukhachyuto vidhatsva karana ayutamesha mevaraha. I want millions and millions of years to hear Krishna katha. That means that only shows his eagerness. Indra has eyes all over his body. I want ears all over his body. That is not his intent. Right? His intent is expressing his eagerness to hear katha. Right? One ear is not sufficient. Two eyes are not sufficient to see your form. Two ears are not sufficient to hear your katha. Because it's unlimited, right? Okay. This is the worthy benediction, worthy aspiration. You can see fourth canto thematic compilations. I have included one compilation there about aspirations of pure devotees. This is the benediction that has no limit. I think we'll stop here. 32nd verse we'll do tomorrow. Okay. Thank you all very much. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Prachetas ki jai. I'm planning to complete 30 and 31 tomorrow and compensate for whatever delays we have had. Thank you.